The word grandparent and the word grandfather are nowhere found in the pages of God's holy word. And it's interesting also that the word grandmother is only used one time in the New Testament. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelled first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Even though the terms grandparents, grandfather, grandmother do not fill the pages of God's word, we do know this, that ever since that first couple's children had children, grandparents have existed. And you can categorize grandparents in all sorts of ways, can you not? There are grandparents that can be categorized by their location or their locale to their grandchildren. Some we might refer to as never seen grandparents. They live so far away that those grandchildren just never, ever see them. Some grandparents might be referred to as seldom seen grandparents. I had a set of those on my mom's side. They didn't live that far from us, about 3 hours, but the trip was long, it was hard, my parents were working, so we saw them maybe about 4 times a year. My other grandma, we saw her about once a month. Huge difference. Then there are those grandparents that live very close to their grandchildren, and they get to see those little kids almost every day of their lives. We might refer to grandparents as live-in grandparents. They live with their children and their grandchildren. Or perhaps it's just the opposite, and we would refer to them as live-with grandparents. Their children and grandchildren live with them. So we can categorize them by locale. We can also categorize them by personality types, can't we? There are what are referred to as the Pollyanna grandparents. I don't know if I want to be that or not. I know I don't want to be classified as that. But a Pollyanna grandparent, always there to help. If you need money, grandparents there. If you need to go somewhere, grandma or granddad is there. Regardless of what's needed, they're going to be there to provide that Pollyanna grandparents. And then there's some grandparents that are referred to as grumpy grandparents. I heard some people that are like that laugh out there. Grumpy grandparents. In fact, they are so grumpy that if you were to talk to them about their grandchildren, you would think they have the most evil grandchildren in all the world. Just grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. And then we have the authoritative grandparents. They're so authoritative that they believe that they are the only ones who can raise their grandchildren in the proper way. Authoritative. Then there's the laboratory grandparents. They stick those grandchildren in the laboratory of labor, and they work and work and work and work and work and work, and that's all grandchildren are supposed to do is work. And then there's the cool grandparents. iPad. You go to their home and they've got 2 million channels on their television set. Techies to the hilt. And they wear the latest fashions. Their hair is styled in the latest ways. They are just cool grandparents. Almost so cool it makes their grandchildren sick. Folks, regardless of what kind of grandparent you are, if you have a relationship with those grandchildren, you have some wonderful powers that are at your disposal. And oftentimes we can use these powers almost without even thinking about it. And many times we do. But if we are cognizant of them, and if we properly channel these particular powers, you and I can have influences over our grandchildren that are almost unbelievable to fathom. So let's talk about the powers that grandparents have with grandchildren. I've entitled the lesson, The power of the previous generation. Point number one. There is the power of relationship. A relationship, very simply, is defined as an emotional bond that exists between two or more individuals. I don't know about you, but if I have a relationship with anyone, it is with those two grand boys that I've got. There is an emotional bond that is there. And folks, there are a lot of things that cause that bond to be very strong, aren't there? Such things as love, genuine trust, and open communication. And we as grandparents should have those things with every one of our grandchildren. And we share a relationship that is unique, don't we? Here's the key. I ain't the parent. That's the key, isn't it? That's what's so wonderful about it. I don't have to be the parent. I am now the what? I am now the grandparent. And there is a huge difference between the two. But in that relationship, folks, we can do some wonderful things, can we not? There is advice that we can give, whether they like it or not. There are times when you and I can be the individuals who are the mediators, the go-betweens between mom and dad and children. And also in those relationships, we can be ones who are of great encouragement, can't we? Not only can we encourage our grandchildren, but we can also exhort and encourage our children in the relationship as well. Yes, you are good parents. Yes, you have done the right thing. Yes, this is a wonderful decision. Yes, this is the way that you need to discipline. Yes, you are good at saying no to your child. And we can encourage the children as much as those grandchildren, can't we? You need to be respectful. You need to obey. You need to work hard. You need to accept when mom and dad say no. You need to do well in school. You see, we can be wonderful exhorters because of our relationship with grandchildren. So relationship is a wonderful power. Point number two, the power of faithfulness, folks. When I talk about faithfulness, I'm talking about faithfulness to our Almighty God. How do you define that? Well, it begins, does it not, with initial obedience to the gospel of Christ, doesn't it? Hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Repenting of sins, confessing His precious name, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. But faithfulness does not stop there. Folks, faithfulness involves a life of diligent obedience to the will of the Almighty God, come what may. It's faithfulness. And the Bible exhorts us to that, doesn't it? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Many individuals who are in this audience, I know, have grandchildren. And guess what? I also know you're faithful. And in that faithfulness, you have at least three wonderful powers at your disposal. Number one, you have the power of prayer. Paul told Timothy, I will therefore that first of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. I believe our grandchildren fall into that category of all men. Those grandparents can lock themselves into their closets. They can fall down on their faces before the throne of the Almighty God. And they can name those precious little ones to the Almighty, can't they? And we can tell God exactly what those individuals need, and we can beg and we can plead on their behalf for Him to intercede for them. Think about that. Going before an Almighty God with all resources at His disposal and naming the name of that little child and pleading for God to be of an assistance in his life. Folks, there is no power greater than that. None. Secondly, you and I also have the power to teach, do we not? You see, old Christians, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but folks, old Christians have a wonderful blessing that they have within them. You've sat through hundreds of worship services, hundreds of sermons, hundreds of Bible classes. You have gone home and you have read your Bible through hundreds of times. You have studied the will of the Almighty God. You know what God expects. And now guess what? You have the opportunity to teach those children the Word of God. Have you ever had a grandchild all alone by yourself? It's wonderful, isn't it? All alone. And you can talk to him about certain passages of Scripture. You can talk to him or her about various examples found within the Bible, how to make application of certain Bible principles to their life. Folks, you don't have to ram it down their throats. Just make suggestions to them. Just ask some questions about the Word of God to them and begin a conversation, doing everything you possibly can to instruct them in the ways of God. What a power you have. Wasn't that exactly what Eunice and Lois did to Timothy? Paul says, Timothy, when I think about you, when I remember you, the thing I remember is this, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the unhypocritical faith, the genuine, sincere faith. But guess what? It didn't begin with you. It started first in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice, and now in you. Folks, here were two women who made dead certain that they did everything they could do to pass on their faith to children and grandchildren. And you and I need to be doing that every day that we're in contact with those little ones. The third power you have spiritually is this, folks, the life of a godly example before them. Those grandchildren come and they visit you, and it's Sunday morning, and guess what you do? Come on, little kids. Time to get up. Oh, they don't want to get up, do they? Don't want to get up at all. It's just too early to get up. But you get them up, you get them dressed, you fight the battles, you bring them to worship services and Bible class, and they go home and they don't do that. But they get up that Sunday and they go to Mom and Dad and they say, Mom and Dad, I got a question for you. Why don't we go to church like Grandma and Granddad do? Wow. The power of what? The power of example, folks. That's exactly what that is. Oh, I realize they have their head in their Kindles. I realize they've got their head in their phones. I realize they've got their head stuck in that television set. But guess what? Their eyes are on you. And I will guarantee you they see what we do. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And you and I need to do everything we can do to be examples to our grandchildren in all of those areas as well. The power of faithfulness. A third power that we have. It's what I refer to as the power of refinement. Those grandkids, 2, 3, 4, 8, 10, 12, 14, whatever they are, you want to know what they do? They look at us and they say, ooh, they're old. I became a grandparent 8 years ago at the age of 45. Now, folks, I don't know about you, that's not old. But you want to know what? Cole gets to be about 2 or 3, and guess what he thinks? Oh boy, that dude's old. And in a sense, we are, aren't we? And in a sense, we ought to be thankful that we're old. We've gone through the trials of life. We've gone through the struggles. We've gone through the difficulties. We've shed tears. We've gone through grief. We know what heartache is. We know what challenge is. We know what it means to be faced with difficulties and have to overcome. Folks, we've gone through all of that. And we've persevered and we remain faithful and loyal to our God. And guess what? We are now refined Christians. Paul wrote the following, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, because tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans 5:3-4. Do you hear what he says? I rejoice when I go through those difficult times. Why? Because of what it makes me, he says. James said the same thing, didn't he? Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be complete, that is perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1:2-4. Folks, you and I, as we get older, ought to just get gooder. Shouldn't we? We ought to get better and better and better. Peter refers to it in 1 Peter 1:5-6 as going through the refiner's fire. I got a couple of gold rings on my finger. And you want to know what? I'm glad they went through the fires of refinement. You want to know why? Because they're more valuable because of it. And because of what you and I have experienced in our lives, we are more valuable. We are refined. And we have tons to offer those individuals. A lot of advice, don't we? If they'll just listen to us a little bit. Could you speak to your children about financial matters? I bet you could. Could you talk to them about what it means to go through a relationship and experience some heartbreak and sorrow in those relationships? I bet you could. Do you understand what it means when you say you need to control your tongue? You need to control your anger? You need to control all of those fleshly desires that you have? Could you sit down and talk to those kids about what's involved in a good work ethic? Folks, that starts in school years, you know that? A good work ethic does. Could you talk to them about what it means to lose somebody significant in their life and have to go through all of that heartbreak and turmoil? You could do that. I know some older people who could sit down with young people and tell them exactly what it is like to suffer pain and affliction almost on a daily basis, folks. What it means to lose a job. What it means to think there is no hope, and yet hope is out there. You see, we're refined. We've been through things that kids have not gone through yet. And because of our sterling character, we are able to have power at our disposal. Now, note this, there are some older folks who ain't that refined. You know that? I've seen some older individuals who, guess what? I sit there and hope that they're not teaching their grandchildren. And folks, what a shame it is when we live wrong and try to teach right, isn't it? That's hard, isn't it? Because you see, what happens is not of benefit in the life of another. In fact, Paul told the Jews, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, even as it is written." Romans 2:24. I try to teach people one thing, and I'm living another thing, and they look at me, and guess what? They laugh, don't they? But folks, if you're truly faithful and refined, you take all that power, and you devote that to those little children. Fourth power, the power of time. There are a lot of grandparents who have finally retired, haven't they? And guess what they have on their hands? A little bit of time. It may be that they have a part-time job, but they still have time, don't they? And folks, time is a valuable asset, is it not? What does time do for a grandparent? Number one, it allows me to build a relationship. I know some grandchildren who are almost closer to their grandparents than their parents. And you want to know why? time. Those grandparents spend more time with them than the parents do. Secondly, you need to spend quality time with those grandchildren. Now, here's something that we need to understand. Quality time cannot be just manufactured. You know that? Well, I think today I'll spend 30 minutes of quality time with someone. And it usually turns into a fiasco, doesn't it? I set aside this time and I hoped everything would go good. And guess what happens? Nothing but fighting and arguing and just a turmoil. Folks, it's hard to manufacture quality time. Where does quality time come from? It comes from quantity of time, doesn't it? That's where it comes from. All of a sudden, we're spending these large amounts of time with one another, and within that, guess what? Something happens, and it is quality time. And we look back on it, and we say, wow, I'm glad we were doing that at that particular point in time. Because had I not been doing that, that quality of time would not exist. Folks, it takes time, does it not, to teach someone? And when I have time, then I can take that time to teach. And maybe I don't finish the lesson today, but I know I'm going to be with that little one again, and I can teach them more the next time and the next time. And time also produces memories, doesn't it? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got some memories of my grandparents that I can still hold on to today. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. Folks, there is nothing more precious than time. And once it is spent, it is gone. You've got the power of time. Use it in the lives of those grandchildren. Another power is this. I refer to it as the power of, are you ready? Skills. Skills. There are old folks who've got some skills that young folks don't have. They pride themselves on being able to text, don't they? They pride themselves on that. And they've got about 1 million abbreviations stored in that little head of theirs, don't they? And here we are, we can't hardly find the numbers and the letters, and they just laugh, or we don't even text at all, right? But all you have to do is turn around and you need to ask them, hey, can you can vegetables and fruit? You can't do that. Do you know where corn comes from? Yeah, Grandma, Walmart. No, corn don't come from Walmart. Okay? Do you know how to take some wood and do you know how to build that? Can you take some cloth and fabric and can you sew together a quilt? Folks, they can't do all these kind of things. Do you know how to take all of those pictures that you've got stored on that camera and build you a wonderful scrapbook that you can show hundreds of people in the days ahead? No, I don't know how to do all that. But you do. You know it? Folks, those are skills that you can pass on to the next generation. I was told about a preacher's wife. She was pretty young, in her early 20s, and she moved from one church to another, and some of the young ladies of the congregation had come over to help her unload her stuff in her kitchen. And when she unloaded all this stuff, she had some canned green beans in there. They said, "Did you do this?" And she said, "Sure did." The next question they ask is, "Why?" Why? Folks, I don't know about you. Canned green beans are better than those you go to Walmart and get. You know it? You see, you can take that time that you have and start teaching those kids some of those skills. Wouldn't it be wonderful for a child to get into his 30s and 40s and 50s and he's doing something, maybe just a hobby, and yet he can look back and somebody says, "Where'd you learn that?" "Grandpa taught me. Grandma showed me how to do this." Folks, that's some wonderful things, you know. That person they tell that to knows there was an influential individual in the life of that person. I find it interesting that under Judaism, even if you had the best of education, guess what every child was responsible for doing? Learning a trade. Jesus was referred to as the carpenter, Mark 6, verse 3. The Apostle Paul, even though trained at the feet of Gamaliel, was a tent maker, Acts 18, verse 3. We need some kids that grow up, and yes, they may be rocket scientists. They may be neurosurgeons. But guess what? They've got some skills that they can do because somebody like a grandparent was willing to teach them. Another power, you ready? This is the one that we all think about most of the time. The power of money. Because that's what everybody's asking for, isn't it? Money. But folks, there is power in money, isn't it? Before those kids got out of the house, we couldn't hardly save a dime. And they finally leave, and they kind of get on their own. And guess what? We can secretively put back some cash. Don't want them to know it, right? And folks, when I say that we have the power of money, I'm not talking about these wonderful, lavish gifts that everyone wants. And they want them, don't they? I'm just as guilty as any grandparent about buying them, you know it? Because we want to help our children. We want them to be happy. We want to give them the things that they want. So we call up before a birthday. What you want for your birthday? Oh, get me a Kindle Fire. $269 when we about drop our jaw. And we buy it. Why? Because we told them we would. That's why. And then you go to the birthday party and guess what? It's like stinking Christmas, isn't it? You just can't hardly believe it. Man, tons of gifts, expensive gifts. They just open them up, set them aside, open them up, set them aside. I'm not talking about that kind of power and money. Folks, sometimes that money is needed for educational purposes, isn't it? Sometimes that money is needed for some type of medical treatments that our children might not be able to afford. Maybe, just maybe, you and I can have the wisdom to put aside enough money to help them with retirement when they get to that age. Do you know if every 18-year-old had $18,000 saved on their 18th birthday, and that money could draw around 5 to 6% interest, and I know that's unbelievable now, that at the age of 65, they'd have about $1.3 million that money has accumulated to. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But you see, we might be able to do that. I know one grandparent, when it comes birthday time, guess what? He never buys a toy. He always hands them like a little tenth of gold, about $160 worth. Kid looks at that and he says, huh. Yeah, we adults, we laugh at that. Give me a tenth of gold. I'll take it today. You can give me 10 tenths of gold. And that gold gets put somewhere, doesn't it? Maybe mom and dad have the fortitude to put it in a safe somewhere. But guess what? When that child gets to be 30, 40 years old, and now he's got several tenths of gold because grandma and grandpa gave them to him, now he understands the value of those things, doesn't he? Folks, there's some grandparents, they set aside enough money to take trips on a regular basis. Memory makers for kids. You see, it's the power of money. Things we can't do sometimes when we're young, and now we can because we're older. There's another power you have at your disposal, and I refer to it as the power of history. The power of history. Folks, you know what? As grandparents, we may be the only connection that our grandchildren have to the past. You know that? The only connection. I never met my grandfather on my father's side. He died about a year and a half or 2 years before my parents were married. And the only people who could tell me anything about them was my grandmother and my dad. And that's how I got to know him just a little bit. There are great grandparents and maybe great, great grandparents that you and I got to know, and we become the go-between, don't we? We become the history teacher and make that connection for those grandchildren to the past. Sometimes we may think, you know, that's not that big of a deal. But it is, folks. It is. Not long ago, it was around 2 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from Cole. That's my 8-year-old grandson. He says, "Granddad, you won't believe it." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, Mom's got us in the car, and she's going around Memphis, and she's showing us all the places where you and Grandma and Granddad used to live and where you grew up and where you went to school." Folks, that stuff bores the tears out of me. I'm not interested in Willow Oaks Elementary School. And he was just excited as he could be. That's where Granddad did go to school. Folks, those are exciting times for those kids, you know it. I asked my son not long ago. My dad died when he was about, 11 or so. I said, "Michael, how much do you know about my dad?" And he says, "Dad, I can't remember very much about him." He said, "I do remember going over. My dad died of emphysema, and he wore oxygen for a long period of time." He says, "I just remember him at home being very sick. That's all he remembers about my dad." Folks, my dad was a lot more than that. You know that? Heating and cooling man. Man who had a journeyman's license in electricity, sharp as a tack. And he did a lot of things with me and my brother. But my son will never know that unless what? Unless I tell him. I become the connection for him in the history of the family. Folks, grandparents have tons of power at their disposal. Number one, we need to recognize it. Number two, we need to harness it. And number three, we need to apply it, don't we? That's our responsibility. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Children's children are a glory to old men. Isn't that the truth? Those grandchildren are truly a glory. And folks, you and I need to take that. We need to develop some pauses in the lives of those little kids. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, there's a lot of children who never knew their grandchildren. And folks, guess what? It's going to become the parents' responsibility to do a lot of what I just talked about. You know that? And that's difficult. But that has to be done. And then there's a lot of children who just don't have family at all, do they? None at all. And that's really sad. But I sincerely believe that's why God has given us a family. And folks, if I'm in the family of the Almighty God, regardless of my past history of family, I don't need anything else truly, do I? Are you in the family of God? We want you to be. All it takes is obedience to the gospel of Christ. And you can be born again this very moment and become a child of the living God through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Dear Christian, do you need to repent of sins and ask God to forgive you of something in your life? Maybe you need a church home. We'd be more than willing to pray for you, assist you in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?